You find that if you'll stand with me for the reading of the Word of God, why we'll read our text together, and I'll try to bring the thought that God's laid on my heart for this evening. Hebrews chapter number 11. All right, and we're going to be looking at verse number 21. The Bible said, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worship leaning upon the top of his staff. Let's read that one more time. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worship leaning upon the top of his staff. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the privilege that's ours to look into the Word of God. I thank you for the great truth that's found in this Scripture. And Lord, for the admonition that we find there and for the instruction that's ours there. Now I'd ask you, Lord, to help the preacher. I ask you to help the people. I pray, Lord, that you'd open up our hearts to thy word. May the sweet Holy Ghost of God kiss the preaching tonight and give us liberty to say some things that'll encourage our hearts in the faith that was once delivered to the saints of God. I pray that you have your divine will and way, save every lost sinner, and get glory unto Jesus' name, and we'll thank you for doing it. In His name we pray, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read that verse of Scripture one more time this evening. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of the staff. I've been preaching now for several weeks out of this chapter and trying to take a different approach to faith on each time that I preach. And God being my helper tonight, church, I want to preach for a little while on the thought, faith in times of adversity. Faith in times of adversity. That's right, I'll tell you, our faith is only as strong as what it is when we're in adversity. When we are being opposed by the forces of this world and the forces of Satan is when our real faith will come to surface. And your faith is only as strong as what it is in times of adversity. I want to say to you, church, that anybody can live by faith on the mountaintop. Anybody can live by faith when everything is running well. But, brother, when things aren't running too well and old smut face, sticks his ugly head up, why, I'll tell you, it's kind of difficult then to swell out our chest like a little banny rooster and tell the world that we're living by faith. If the truth was known, every one of us would rather live by sight than we would by faith. But I tell you, it's only by faith that we'll ever please the Lord. Now, when we look at Jacob's life, and I don't have time to look at all his life tonight, and I'm not going to, but I do say that Joseph lived a life of adversity. If you'd read your Bible, you'd find there many times that he was opposed, and many times his life was lived in adverse conditions or in adverse situations. And it come to the true test of his faith when the Bible said there that when he was dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph. That is, he blessed Ephraim and he blessed Manasseh. And while he was a dying, and while he was a dying and blessing them, the Bible said that he still had enough faith to worship God. That's right, leaning on the top of his staff. Brother, I wonder how you and I will finish out this journey. I wonder if we'll be able to worship when it comes time for us to check out of this life and move on over into the other side. I don't know about you, but when I go out, hallelujah to God, I want to go out in a blaze of glory. That's right, I want to go out a worshiping God. I want to have enough faith in my soul when I'm a dying to be able to worship God Almighty. And so Jacob here was a man that lived under adverse situations or conditions. I mean, in all of his life, if you was to go back and read the story of his life and the history of his life, you'd find that his adversities began when he was just a baby. In fact, the Bible said said that there was a struggle or a battle going on in the womb of his mother, Rebecca, when he was born. Isn't that right? There was a struggle going on. That struggle was between Jacob and Esau. That's right. And if you read there in the book of Genesis, the Bible said Esau was born first, but little old Jacob had to reach out and take hold of the heel of Esau when he was born. I tell you, I thought a long time on that. And brother, I'll tell you, there is adversity when it comes to birth. I tell you, that gives us a picture of a Christian in the new birth. I'm going to say more about that in a minute. And there's adversities to a Christian being born again, or a sinner being born again by the grace of God. And what this is telling us is that we'll live a life of adversity and opposition and hindrances in serving God all of our days. And you know who the struggle is going to be with? It's going to be with that old flesh. That's right. It'll be with that old sorry devil that's got you, that's housing you tonight. That's who your biggest trouble is going to be with. Somebody said, well, the devil is a real hassle, not half the hassle you are. Somebody said, the world's a problem, not near the problem you are. That's right. I tell you, when you get up in the mornings, if you look in the mirror, you'll find your biggest problem looking right back at you. That's right. Amen. And so here we find that Jacob's life, in his birth, there was adversity. There was a struggle going on in the womb of his mother. And then there was adversity over the birthright. When Esau had been out in the field hunting pottage or hunting a wild game, and when he came back, old Jacob was making a little bit of porridge, a little soup, and Esau was about to die. And there was another struggle took place over the birthright. And I'll say some more about that in just a minute too. And then there was a struggle over the blessing. You know, when Jacob was blessed by Isaac, and that there was a struggle there took place there. There was adversity that took place there in his life. And then with the battles of Esau, there was always adverse situations. Now, I want everybody to look right up here at me, church. I want to give you something. The birthright had to do with his position. Are you listening to me? The birthright had to do with his position as a child of God. And there's always going to be a struggle in our lives when it comes down to this thing of adoption. You see, most people's got the wrong idea of what adoption is. I'm so tired and sick and tired of preachers talking about being adopted out of the devil's family. Honey, I never was adopted from the devil. I am not God's stepchild. I was born again by the grace of God. But adoption has to deal with son placing, and we will be placed somewhere in the family of God at the judgment seat of Christ. And you better believe that there is a battle going on, friend, in our life, and a struggle going on for where we are, what position we will have in the family of God. That's right. And then the blessing had to do with the promises of God. Oh, and there's always a battle going on there, trying to nail down the promises of God in our life. Always adversity there. Son, you'll always find the devil opposing you when it comes to this thing of getting a hold of the promises of God. Now, I don't belong to the health and wealth boys. And I don't believe in naming it and claiming it. But brother, I'll tell you, it's not always hard to get a hold of the blessings of God or the promises of God and realize that they are ours in Christ. And brother, we have a right to those promises. Amen. And you mark her down. Anytime the devil or anytime God gives you a promise, the devil will be there to try to rob you of that promise of God. I've been fighting with that egg sucker over in revival for about 17 years now. But I've got news for him. Buddy, I ain't giving up yet. No, sir, I ain't about to give up on what God has told me. Son, in 1988, sitting over on Princeton Pike, out of Jeremiah 33, the Holy Ghost of God told me that there would yet be a voice of joy in this place. And there'd yet be a voice of the bride and a voice of the bridegroom in this place. Now, I've had preachers to say it ain't going to happen. I really believe I've got the majority of the church members of the church don't believe it's going to happen. But I believe God for revival, brethren. I believe God that it'll be exactly like He said it would. Oh, yes. I'm still looking for the latter rain, by the way. Amen. Oh, that's right. And friend, any time that God's given you a great and a glorious promise from the Word of God, you're going to have to seek God earnestly in prayer, stay on your knees and believe God, and the devil will fight you every step of the way for it. That's right. Now, the Bible said in Proverbs chapter number 24, verse number 10, He said, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." Thy strength is small. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I'm glad that old Jacob never fainted one time. When he was being born, he hung right in there. Amen. And in the birth, when it came time for the birthright, he hung right in there. When he went into his daddy to receive the blessing, he hung right in there. And son, when he came back with his bride at his side and met Esau, whom he feared, he hung right in there. That's right. He hung right in there. In all the adversities of life, I'm glad that he tried gloriously every single time. He never was one time defeated, but he gloriously triumphed in God. He hung right in there believing God for the promises. Amen. That's right. Now, I want to name some things tonight where your faith is going to have to, you're going to have some faith in these times of real adversity in your life. I want to say, number one, that you're going to have faith or there will be adversities in the conversion of a sinner. Now, church, you need to get a hold of that. That is such a simple truth. But I've got such an illustrious illustration for it that I love to preach on. And I preach on that deliverance from Egypt probably more than I preach on any other theme in all the Bible. And I tell you, the reason I do is because it is a classic illustration of a sinner being delivered from the power of sin and given a new hope in God, a new lease on life, a new opportunity to shed sin and step out on the right foot and serve God with glory down in his soul. But I'm going to tell you right now, brother, sinners are not going to be converted without a little bit of opposition. Without some adversity. We've got the idea today, and Jack Hiles and his boys has gotten the idea today that all a man's got to do is bow his head and agree to a set of Bible facts and pray some little printed prayer on the back of a piece of paper, and that man's soul will be delivered and he'll live happily ever after in the presence of God. But I'm going to tell you, friend, it's just not that way. I've got a book in there on my bookshelf that I would to God every one of you would read. It's a book by A.W. Tozier. And the title of that book is Let My People Go. And it deals with the life of Israel when they lived down in the land of Egypt in bondage to those Egyptians. And friend, if you've ever read the account of their deliverance from Exodus chapter number 3, beginning with the burning in the bush, all the way to chapter number 14 where they crossed the Red Sea, you'll have to read it and come to the conclusion that they had adversity. They met with adversity while they were being delivered from that bondage. Now, I want to say first of all that they met with adversity from Satan himself.
Friend, do you really believe that the devil, do you really believe that the devil is going to let a sinner go, just drop his hands and stand back and let any old sinner boy or any sinner woman walk out of this world into the Christian life without putting up a fight? No, sir. Brother Pharaoh is a perfect example in the Bible of Satan himself. And when it came time for Israel to be delivered out of that bondage, the Bible said that it took 10 plagues upon that nation, the last one being the plague of the death of the firstborn. And after every plague except the last one, Pharaoh refused to let the people of God go. I want to say to you today, friend, somebody said, how'd they get out of there? I'm going to tell you how they got out. By faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm telling you that it was a gift of God. Faith was that gift of God that broke the power of Pharaoh over their life, brought them out of the slime pits, out of the iron furnace, and brought them into the wilderness wanderings where they could receive the tables of law on over into Canaan land where they could enjoy the blessings of God. I'm going to tell you how a sinner get out of Egypt, buddy. Break the bonds of Satan in his life. F-A-I-T-H. By faith. Jacob died in faith, and he was able to die in faith because he was delivered by faith, and he lived by faith. Therefore, he could die by faith. I feel like I'm about ready to preach now. That's right. But my thought is this. In chapter 14, when they had come out, and not a dog wagged his tail, by the way, when they came out, and the next morning when Pharaoh realized what he had done, the Bible said there in verse number 10 of chapter number 14, it said, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, Pharaoh left with his chariots and his horsemen, and Sonny put into flight behind them. Now I want you to get a hold of this. They've already been brought out of the city. But brother, there comes Satan, just as fast as he can run, right on their heels, filling their hearts full of fear. That's right. Buddy, God just gave me that. Are y'all listening to me? I'm going to tell you one of the greatest tools of the adversary to keep a sinner in bondage is fear that I can't make it. I can't live it. Well, I'm going to tell you, bless your heart, you can't live it, but I'm glad, thank God, that I know one that if you submit your life to Him, He's got the power that He can deliver through you if you let Him. Hallelujah to God. That's right. Amen. Brother old Pharaoh was hot on their heels. Hot on their heels. I mean, in pursuit. You see, he's not going to let you go till you cross the sea. Y'all get a hold of that. Hey, I'm talking about faith in adverse. I'm talking about faith in times of adversity. Son, you don't think that that's an adverse situation when the devil is hot on the heels of a sinner trying to drag him back into the slime pits of the world that he might ultimately drag his soul off into a burning hell? That's right, I said a burning hell where the fire's not quenched and the worm dies not. Amen. And he ain't about, bless your heart, to let a sinner go easily. He wants to drag as many into hell with him as he can. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah to God. That's right. Adversity in conversion of a sinner. And it'll show up in the person of Satan. That's right. He'll fill your mind full of junk. Well, they all hypocrites down there. Some of them may very well be. How many times have you heard that? They all hypocrites down there. How many times have you heard them? Well, they don't nobody down there love me. They don't love sinners down there at Island Ford Baptist Church. Who do you think's telling you that mess? Who do you think's perched on your shoulder whispering in your ear? That's right, whispering in your ear that pack of lies and nonsense. Now, I'm going to tell you, Brother Hall ain't much, but I'm going to tell you something right now. We got about the 11th bunch of people around here I know anywhere in the country, and I've preached all over the country.
Amen.
Amen. Apple pies.
Amen.
Washing wax in cars. Peanut butter fudge.
Right.
Make a man's tongue slap his brain sideways. Huh? Little cards and notes and little lighthouses and all this stuff. Don't tell me, hey, you, what your problem is? You listening to the devil. Boy, and I know she's going. I knew it's going to be kind of tight and draggy when we started. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the devil don't want a lost church member to get saved. Boy, that makes him look like a genuine Class A fool. Anytime a church member gets born again, oh, he's done. All you need is a little religion. There he is. Why, as long as you go on down there and sit on the pew, that's all you need. You don't need to go. You don't need to worship God. You ever heard that? You don't need to. Paul's just a mushroom head. You don't really have to worship God. You just come down there and go through the motions. You don't have to worship God. Hey, I'm not the mushroom head. You are if you believe that. For the Bible said that God seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And buddy, I'm going to tell you, if you really saved, you'll worship God. You see, Satan, faith in times of adversity. One of the greatest times of adversity in your life is in your conversion experience. That's right, when God's trying to deliver you. And I'm going to tell you who the Class A hinderer is. Satan himself. Can I tell you secondly who will hinder your conversion? Scoffers. Scoffers. Verses 11 and 12 in chapter 14. When they looked and saw Pharaoh hot on their heels, they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt this with us, thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Are y'all listening to what I'm telling you? It's not enough for Satan to be an adversary, but there's always some long-tongued heathen around, amen, to scoff the work of God and to sow seeds of doubt in a sinner's mind to try to lead him astray and convince them that God will deliver them and then depart from them and leave them along the wayside somewhere. Hallelujah to God. No need to doubt Him now. Son, I'm telling you, hey, that's right. They said, why? Hey, they'd already got their start out, buddy. They'd come up to the Red Sea. And now them scoffers is a-mocking Moses and sowing doubts in the hearts of the people. Why, it'd have been better for us if we had stayed down there. I mean, here we are now. We had her made down in the world, but God's brought us out, saved us and brought us out, and now we're going to perish by the sea. Y'all getting a hold of anything? How many times has the devil slipped up on your shoulder and told you that you ain't going to make it? Huh? It's all just a fairy tale. Well, it's crazy to run down there at that little old building three times a week, put money in an offering plate, give the WSOF, and give your money to missions. Why? It's crazy to do that. After all, God may drop you just any day now. God may drop you along the wayside just any time. That's right. Son, that's why I don't put much staff in somebody tells me you can lose what I got. They ain't doing nothing but trying to sow doubt in your mind concerning the power of God. Well, I want to tell you tonight and serve notice on the devil and that scoffing crowd that the blood of the cross, the blood of the cross, Miss Sue, I said the blood of the cross Son has never lost its power. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God, the same blood. Amen. I said the same blood that was on the doorpost down in Egypt. Hallelujah to God. I will bear you all the way to heaven itself. Thinking lying bunch of devils. Well, you might lose it. Scoffing. Now, especially when things get hard, you know. That's what the devil's crowd tell you. Things got hard right there. They had the Red Sea in front of them, mountains on both sides of them, Pharaoh behind them. And there's that scoffing crowd saying, this is it. We've done come to the end of the line. We've gone as far as we're going to make it. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Do y'all hear me? I'm talking about faith in adversity. Faith in times of adversity, in your conversion experience. Son, don't tell me that sinners are going to get saved just readily. Buddy, there's a battle going on. Yes, sir, on an old rugged cross on a hill outside Jerusalem, there's a battle raging for the souls of men. On one side, the forces of evil. On the other stands an old rugged cross. Hallelujah to God. Amen. And dark the night. Dark as night, the sin is settled on the shoulders of the Son of God. But I'm glad, thank God, that through the darkness, a ray of sunshine come from heaven's glory world and shined upon the Son of God as He hanged in the balances and He had enough power and strength and grace in His soul to cry out, it is finished. And He brought salvation down to man. Bless your heart. Amen. I don't care what the scoffers and the devils say. Glory to God, I'm saving the grace of God and anointed and I'm satisfied in what God's done for me. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Scoffers. Been better if we'd have died down there. Well, He didn't tell me we was going to have all these troubles. What do you think is going to be, a bed of roses? Since when is cross-bearing fun? Since when is fighting the devil fun? That's what most people want, fun. They want fun. Brother Hyde called here yesterday, I believe it was, checking on his tapes for his radio broadcast. And I was talking to him, and he said, looks like I'm going to lose another family. He said, I don't enjoy seeing them go. And I asked him, I said, which one was it? He said, you know that little short black? I said, you don't have to go another step further. I said, you talking about the one whose wife tells him what to do? He said, that's him. I said, I got him pegged. I said, you talking about the one wasn't faithful in church during revival? That's him. I said, I got him pegged. He said, you never guess. Never guess what his excuse is for leaving. I said, well, probably wouldn't. I probably could, but I'll let you tell me. He said, nothing for the young people. Nothing for the young people. You know what he said? There ain't no games. There ain't no fun around here. This place ain't no fun. We don't have any games for the young kids. Our young kids will grow up being old sticks in the mud. I'm going to tell you, I'd rather man to grow up being old sticks in the mud and stay out of the world than to get out with that hellish crowd and get involved in every kind of sins in the world. And I'm going to tell you what's going on around here for the young folks. Preaching and singing and worship. Amen. That's right. Son, if you can't keep Christian folks on preaching and praying and praising, let them go. They're lost as hell, and that's where they're going. Somebody said, I don't like you. You poo blood. Bless God, that's right. Time somebody woke some of this crowd up. I'm sick and tired, bless your heart. The folks are looking for fun at the house of God. It's not a fun station. It's a preaching station where the Word of God's preached. I'm going to tell you something. Christians love preaching and praying and praising. Somebody said, how do you know that? Because I is one of them. Didn't hurt your leg or if that did a bang. Had tried to get their attention some way, sitting out there like a bunch of knots on a log. Man up here trying to preach, and y'all sit out there like knots on logs. Amen. Preaching and praying. Praise Him. While we go, well, what kind of a program we got for the toddlers? Preaching and praying and praising. What kind of a program we got for the elderly when they get over the hill? Preaching and praying and praising. What do we got for the young married couples? Preaching and praying and praising. I'm telling you, when you get outside of preaching and praying and praising, that's what the Bible has to say for the people of God. Amen. That's right. Scoffers. Now I'm going to tell you something. God never gave me this till last night. What I'm getting ready to tell you. They had one other adversary to their conversion experience besides Satan and besides the scoffers tugging and a-pulling, holding them back. I'm going to tell you, they had one other thing, and I never to see. They come to that Red Sea, buddy, there in chapter number 14. And that's as far as they could go. Now, this may startle some of you, but a number of places in the Word of God, the word sea is the world. You hear what I said? That beast that comes up out of the sea in the book of Revelation, that this bunch of charismatic idiots expect to come up out of the Atlantic Ocean or Pacific Ocean somewhere. He ain't coming, or the Dead Sea, he ain't coming up out of that kind of a sea. But I'm going to tell you where the Antichrist come up from. Right out of the world. That's right. He's a man. He is a blood and bone, flesh man. He's the son of perdition that rises out of the sea. Son, you hear me well. This sea has always been at enmity with God. For the world is enmity with God. It has never been God's friend. Son, don't you ever get the idea that the world won't tug on hearts and lives and minds to convince a sinner that he'll have more fun in the world than he will in the Mount Zion where God loved and gave His Son to purchase glory to God for the saints of God. That's right. See, it don't hurt. Why, who on heaven's name wants to give up running down here to Four Square Theater and watching Dirty Harry? Well, preacher, after all, you couldn't possibly expect me to give up my baseball. Sure I do. I'm going to tell you something else. So does God. Well, I might give up the Chicago Cubs, but I sure ain't giving up them Wildcats. Uh-oh. You will if you ever get saved.
Amen.
I'm going to, hey, hear me well, son. Why, God help. You know what somebody called in here the other day? I didn't waste my breath of talking to them. They called Sharon after the phone, and they said, I'm so-and-so, and said, I'd like to know if the manager of the radio station there would be interested in airing the Tennessee Oilers on your radio station. Well, I told Sharon, I said, I ain't looking for no Tennessee oil. Hallelujah to God, I'm looking for Holy Ghost oil. I'm looking for heavenly oil. That's the house of God. That's right. I want some oil in my joints, but it ain't Tennessee oil. It's Holy Ghost oil I'm looking for. Bunch of worldly devils. So, hey, look here. Boys, how do you think that sea opened up? Read the book of faith. Read the Hero Hall of Faith. By faith! By faith, the Red Sea parted, and they went over on dry ground. The Egyptians, which the Egyptians said to do, they couldn't make a friend. I'm going to tell you why they couldn't. Because they didn't have the faith to come out of the world. Are y'all hearing me? Are y'all hearing me tonight? See, faith in times of adversity. I said, I thought you was going to preach on Jacob. I ain't been a minute. Ain't got there yet. I ain't preached for 3 weeks, son. I'm strung out. I've got a backlog. I've got a build up. Amen. But church, I'm trying to give you a Bible that will help you. I'm going to tell you, we got people that don't want the Bible now. They want some flamboyant orator that can tickle their ears and give them... I tell you what, most churches like skyscraping preaching. Story on top of story on top of story on top of story on top of story. They ain't careful. They're going to build that Empire State Building one of these days. That's right. Jerk a tear. Some of them jerk a tear out of a glass eye. And we go away feeling real good, but I'm going to tell you what. They go away feeling real good, but the problem of it is, come Monday morning, they go away Sunday night feeling good, but Monday morning they wake up feeling just as bad they did before they went Sunday morning. But I'm going to tell you, son, that's right. You preach this book line upon line and precept upon precept and preach what becomes sound doctrine. And give folks that Bible. I'm talking about, somebody said, that's kind of boring where it says in Pharaoh went after them. Might be boring, but it's the Bible. You get it down in your soul. When you wake up Monday morning and the devil raises up and looks in your bedroom window at you, you have something to fight back with. All you got's peg and a singing convention. I've never. I won't say again, I've never in my life seen the mess that's going on, buddy, in our. You know what I saw twice, three times now in businesses all over Madisonville? They're having a camp meeting in Sturgis. You know who's having that camp meeting? Dottie Rambo. I've never in my life. Camp meeting with Dottie Rambo. They ain't going to no camp meeting. They ain't going to a hymn sing. Don't know anything about it. That's the mentality of churches today. In case some of y'all don't know who Dottie Rambo is, she's born and raised down in Dawson Springs. She wrote a whole bunch of Christian songs. I'm not down in Dottie's music. She's written some beautiful songs, but I'm telling you, you ain't going to have camp meeting with Dottie Rambo.
Amen.
That's right. And I don't care if Dottie's a listening tonight. I'd tell Dottie to her face, you ain't going to have camp meeting. I don't know who's a putting her on over there. But it's at Sturgis, Kentucky. That's a big thing. Camp meeting at Sturgis with Dottie Rambo. Son, I'm telling you, we're in a mess, friend. You know what that is? Somebody said, oh, that's saved folks. No, that's the deception of the world. That's the seed that's never opened for that crowd that's still holding them in the land of Egypt. Better believe that's right. I got to hurry. Then I want to say number two. Not only was there adversity in the conversion of sinners, but you're going to find adversity in the consecration of a Christian's life. Now right here, she's going to get kind of tacky. Y'all understand what I mean by consecration? I'm talking about living a holy life. I'm talking about, ladies, I'm talking about skinning out of your blue jeans and putting on a pair of a dress or a skirt and a blouse. I'm talking about getting the gum off your mug where you don't look like a Fifth Avenue whore. I'm talking about letting your hair grow where you don't look like some bobbed off jazzy. Are y'all listening to me? I'm talking about cutting your hair and wearing clothes that becometh men. I'm talking about having a vocabulary that becometh the saints of God. I'm talking about having character. Son, we don't have character anymore. Now, are y'all listening to me? I'm talking about consecration. I think one of the most classic, and you can call me a twice blessed man if you want to. Somebody said, you believe in the second working of grace? Yeah, and the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one, sixth one, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 15th, 11th, 12th. I believe in a bunch of workings of grace. I'm telling you, everything God does in your life is a work of grace. When He saved you, it's a work of grace.
Yes, sir.
When God consecrates you, it's a work of grace.
Right.
When God blesses you with a child, it's a work of grace.
Right.
When God gives you a healthy body, it's a work of grace.
Right.
When God gives you a good job, good income, it's a work of grace.
Right.
When God gives you a new car, it's a work of grace. Hallelujah to God. Amen.
Amen.
God takes Smoking Joe off your hands. Gives you something you can drive. That's a work of grace. But I think a classic illustration of consecration is the crossing of the Jordan. Now, I never saw this today, and I'm hey, right here is where we're going to put her down now. It's preaching time right now. And I'm not going to turn over to all of it. But the crossing of that Jordan, what kind of adversary did they have when they come to the Jordan River?
Can I say, everybody look right up here now? Everybody look right up here now, because I'm getting ready to put the nail in your coffin. The greatest adversary they had in their faith across in that river, hold on now, was the memory of their parents. Don't you? Hey, they remembered Mom and Daddy's rebellion at Kadesh Barnea, buddy. Parents, you better listen to Brother Hall.
All right.
I'm going to tell you the greatest adversary that your child will have in getting out, getting on the right kind of clothes and staying faithful out the house of God is going to be your rebellious life in their presence.
Amen.
Are y'all hearing me? The parents! Them little eyes is on you. But there ain't no doubt about it. There ain't no doubt about it. When they got ready to cross that Jordan, what went through the back of some of them's mind was this very thing. If Mommy and Daddy couldn't make it, how in God's name we going to make it?
Right. Right.
But if Mommy and Daddy said it was all right to bow up against a preacher, then it must have been all right, so we'll bow up.
Right.
Come on now.
Right.
Mama wore pants all of her life. Daddy chawed tobacco and cussed like a sailor. I'll never forget Daddy the way he cussed. Taught you how to cuss too, didn't he?
Right. Amen.
Are y'all there? Or are you there where I'm at now, where I want to preach a little while? I'm talking about, hey, I'm talking about adversity in living a holy life for God. Well, Daddy didn't throw out the television, so it must be good for the eyeballs. Daddy watches wrestling. Daddy watches them guys with them big long pistols kill everybody. Daddy watches movies with blood and guts all over the walls. Daddy watches men rape women and women go to bed with other men outside their own husband. I mean, Daddy watches. Well, if it's good for Daddy, it must be good for me. Buddy, we right there. Daddy stayed home on Sunday afternoon, watched a ball game, didn't go to church on Sunday night, and thus be all right. Hello, y'all out there? Y'all out there? No wonder we're in the mess we're in today.
Right.
Now, I'm going to tell you right now, some parents are Pharisees.
Right.
Yes, sir,
y'all hearing me?
Free.
They don't back up what they like, what they say they got with their lips.
Right.
They can clean up on the outside real good, but their heart's full of hell.
Right.
Oh, yes. God help us.
Yes,
I know it wouldn't be much fun.
Praise.
But it's by faith. Somebody said, how am I going to get across that Jordan? By faith! You have to lay aside the rebellious nature of Mom and Daddy and make up your mind on your own that by the grace of God, through faith in what Christ has done, you're going to separate yourself, consecrate yourself, dedicate your life, and live for God. Everybody look right up here at me. Some of you in here tonight, you ain't right careful. You fall into the same mold as a saved person that you lost Mom and Daddy laid down in front of you. Are you listening to me? You'll fall into the same death trap your lost Mommy and Daddy laid down for you.
Amen.
Are you listening to Brother Hall?
Right. Amen.
I can give you some good illustration, but it would be so pointed that it wouldn't leave any stretch for the imagination who I'm talking about. Sure, we're getting quiet now. I'm talking about faith. Hey, don't worry about what Mom and Daddy done. Get in this book. Read that Bible. Pray. Worship God. Preach. Pray. Praise.
Sanctify yourselves. Today, for tomorrow, we are crossing that Jordan River into a land and through a way that we've never been before. We're going a new way, but I'm going with God. The parents was an adversary to them. Can I say the passage was an adversary? You see, the Jordan was swollen. High water out of its banks. I want to read you this verse of Scripture. And I hope you don't faint when I read it in Jeremiah 12. I like it. Jeremiah 12, verse number 5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustedest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? Is everybody looking right up here at me right now? If you in the land of peace where you trusted, what Jeremiah is saying back down yonder in the world, when you lived a life of apparent peace on the outside, and you trusted in it, but you yet fainted with adversity, there, hell on God's name, will you make it when the Jordan gets out of her back and God commands you to get? He's never crossed it. Are y'all hearing me? That's exactly why this church has never crossed it. The passage is too broad. I can't do it. I can't live over there. I just can't do it. I just can't lay aside that sin and that weight that doth so easily beset me. I just can't correct my kids the way I ought to correct them. And I just can't love my wife as I ought to love her. And my wife just can't submit the way she... We just can't. I'm sick of can't. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. It takes an act of faith. You hear me well. It took more faith to cross Jordan than it did the Red Sea. Are y'all listening to me? I'm going to you know why? Because the Red Sea parted on its own, but when the Jordan parted, them priests had to get their feet up there in the water with that ark, which represented the presence of God. And the Jordan was, the Jordan being out of its banks, what is in there is dangerous crossing it. Fast, swift current sweep you away. That's what a lot of folks are afraid of, Brother Jerry, being swept away by the current of the Jordan. Don't have enough sense to realize that the swift running water of the Jordan River is a type of the Holy Ghost. It's going to be Him that you got to cross by to get over there. The parents hindered them. The passage hindered them. Oh, it was rough. I mean, son, it was out of the banks. I mean, Hall's asking too much. God's done asked too much of me. Well, I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? For He has done so much for me. Are y'all listening? How many are the burdens He has carried? How heavy is the load that He was called upon to bear? Can we sit idly by on Jordan's stormy banks and cast a wishful eye when the captain of our salvation has already set His water feet in the muddy waters, prepared to cross, lead us into a life that's far, far greater, far more spiritually nourishing than anything that we've ever experienced in this world before? Oh, I'm telling you, friend, that most of us have never even touched a hem of His garment. I'm so sick with people being. They talk about, what is the life? They call it the deeper life. Well, what are you basing the deeper life on? Well, I spoke in tongues. Well, I prayed in tongues. Well, I prayed with my understanding. That's exactly right. Well, I got slayed in the Spirit. Yeah, and if you don't get born again, it probably never will resurrect. Amen. Son, I'm a faith healer. I can heal diseases. Then heal thyself, physician.
Are y'all listening to me tonight? I'm talking about the passage. Oh, there's adversity. There's hindrances to getting over there. And then there's not only the parents, adversary of the parents, and or adversity of the parents and adversity of the passage, but the adversity of the people of the land. They're like, judge us! They live in walled houses and fit cities. Are y'all listening to me? You ain't got bored already, have you? I'm talking about faith in times of adversity. And friends, there's two of the most adverse conditions you'll ever walk through with God in your life. It's when God's a-saving you as a sinner and when God's a-making you holy as no man's ever been made holy. Old Duncan Campbell. You know what it took to get Duncan Campbell consecrated for God? World War I, he was with the military in France, I guess it was France or Germany. And they had made a charge up a hill, and Duncan Campbell had been wounded and had fallen in the heat of the battle. And the last charge of the day was being made, and it was being made by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. And they headed up over that hill, and Duncan Campbell had been a Christian boy. He got in the military and tried to live right, but he just knew something was missing. You ever feel that way? Oh, I'm saved, but they just something else. I'm saved, but they just something missing in my life. Maybe it's that old-fashioned filling of the Holy Ghost that you need. Somebody said, you talk about it all the time. I tell you, yes, I do, and I'm going to tell you why. Because it is imperative for you to have in your life. Without it, you will never please God. I said on a supper time hour tonight, it's either filling or failure, buddy. Mark or bound. And most Baptists can't take enough time out of their day from working, running, gunning, jumping, running to sit down and take enough time with God to get what they ought to have from Him.
Amen.
Filling or failure?
Amen.
Which one do you want? Old Duncan Campbell said he headed up that last charge, headed up that hill, and it was a Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and one of those Mounties' horse hoofs sunk in his back, and when it did, he said, "Ugh!" And that boy looked where he was at and marked the spot. When the charge was over, he come back down the hill. And there, old Duncan Campbell still laying, hadn't moved. I'm talking about on the very threshold of death itself. And that Mountie very, very gently picked him up and laid him across that horse's back, headed down that hill, and old Duncan Campbell said that in his heart, said he knew he was getting ready to go out to meet God. And then what he thought was the last moments of his life, he said, "Lord, make Duncan Campbell as holy as a saved sinner can be made holy." He said, "I'm going to tell you that before I left that first aid station, that Canadian Mounted Police first aid station, said I had won 8 Royal Mounties to God. That it made a difference in my..." Are y'all listening to me? Call it whatever you want to call it. A second work of grace. A third work of grace. Call it crossing the Jordan. Call it a Spirit-filled life. Call it whatever you want. But I'm telling you, the reason some of you ain't got it is because of your parents and because the passage and because of the people. Now look right up here at me. While I'm on the people. It wouldn't be that some of y'all's afraid some of your kinfolk would talk about you for being just too holy.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I mean, you run with them and they all wear Bermuda shorts and cuss like sailors and talk about everything that they do out in the world, and you just ain't got enough guts.
Amen.
You just ain't got enough guts to tell them. Come on now, don't back up. I'll get in a pew with you. Father said, "What are you trying to do?" I'm trying to get us over. I'm trying to give us faith to believe God for something. Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed the sons of Joseph. Worship leaning upon the top of his staff.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. If you ain't got enough guts about you to stand up against people today, instead of being ashamed of what God's done for you, when it comes time to die, you won't have any grace either. I was in there in the room yesterday, and a car pulled up outside, and there's a lady in it. And that little old lady was sitting there in that car, and I told Brother Doug, look, that little old lady in that car. I said, she's blind. She was sitting there in that car, and her daughter, I found out later, was with her. And I don't mean her daughter was smoking and was wearing a pair of shorts, but she is good to her mama and loved her mama and brought her mama down here at the station. And her mama was totally blind, and she let that little old woman come in like that and stop. And she didn't even see. Of course, she was blind. I was standing there in the foyer. And I said, how do you do, ma'am? And immediately she recognized my voice. She said, oh, you're Brother Hall. She said, there ain't no other radio station. All this world like this radio station. And she said, I listen to you every time you preach. She said, I listen to this radio station from the time it comes on till it goes. I did never met that woman in my life, Lord, I know. She said, but I listen to you preach and I listen to this radio station. And she said, when you're a preacher, I'll say, that's right, Brother Hall. Tell it like it is. Tell it like it is. Tell it like it is. Said, I heard old Brother Doug Thompson preaching the other night and said, I said, that's right, Brother Doug. Tell it like it is. Tell it like it is. Tell it like it is. And her daughter was standing there. Her daughter started talking some religious talk, and the mama spoke up, and she said, my husband was a preacher, and said, he's saved and gone on to be with God, and said, but my daughter here said, just pray for her, said, she needs to get in. She needs to get in. But she said, my husband just took sick suddenly, Brother Hall, and said, we'd been married I don't know how many years, she said. Said, we was at the hospital with him. And said they had been up and done some tests on him, and said they brought him off of that elevator. And said when they wheeled him off that elevator door opened, said I heard the nurses in there. Said the nurses was a crying, and said there's a crying, the tears are running. Said there's a snuffing, and said they and before I said anything, they started talking. And said we ain't never seen. Said this man's getting ready to die. And said listen at him. Said he is laying on that bed singing Amazing Grace. Saved a wreck. Hey, God! Hey, I'm telling you, church, it'll be worth it all. That's right. To fight the good fight of faith, get born again by the grace of God. Hallelujah! Fight the devil, spit in his eye, cross the Jordan River, get filled up with the Holy Ghost, and as the old tale goes, live happily ever after. Hallelujah to God. Yeah! That little old woman said, she said, I don't know why. Said, I prayed and said, God, why'd you take him? Said, he read the Bible to me every day. And said, now I can't read the Bible. And I don't know why God took him. But she said, oh, Brother Hall. She was just as excited. She said, oh, Brother Hall. She said, it won't be long. Said, he'll be a coming after me. Hey, man, I tell you, I'm just about raptured out. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I'm telling you, I've got beside myself. Church, it'll be worth it all. I tell you, stand up against that devil, spit in his face, and serve God. That's right. Ain't that right? That is right. Amen. She wasn't afraid. She wasn't afraid of what her daughter thought either. She said, she couldn't even see her. But she had enough sense to know she was lost. Now, I didn't say she was. Mama did. Okay? Mama said, you pray for my daughter. She said she's saved. She said, I think she needs to get in. But she said, Brother Hall, I'm ready to check out.
Yeah, thank God.
You know why she was, church? She lived by faith.
Yes, sir.
That's right. That little old lady was wearing that little old white bonnet on top of her hair. I don't even, I think she said a Baptist church, maybe, but she sure didn't dress like no Baptist.
Yes,
that little old white bonnet on her head. I'm going to tell you why she could stand in there and weep and get excited about dying and going home. I'm going to tell you why. Because there was a time in her life with the devil hot on her heels, a breathing fire out of hell on her soul, that she watched the world swing wide its doors and its bars, and that little old woman crossed the Red Sea on dry ground and turned around and waved out of the devil!
And there was no looking back, glory to God. Just said, I'm not going all the way. That's what God wants you to do, is go all the way with it. All the way. Faith in the conversion and faith in the consecration. And finally, and I'll just have to hurry through this, faith in a crisis. My text, I've just got to it. The Bible said that it was when he was a dad. You're talking about a crisis. Hey, I looked that word, and I'll just give you this and we'll close. But I looked that word up, and by the way, I'm going to use Jacob's life, because he's the man we're preaching about. I looked that word up, crisis, in Noah Webster's dictionary, and it means this. In medical science, it means the change of a disease which indicates its event. It means that change which indicates recovery or death. It means the point of time when an affair is arrived at, an affair is arrived at its height and must soon terminate or suffer a material change. Look here. You think that wasn't a crisis in Jacob's life? Do you think he was not getting ready to terminate and suffer a material change? Oh, yeah. Son, he's getting ready to terminate. Them doctors laid old Jacob down on that deathbed and said, got bad news, Joseph. He's terminal. Jacob, I can see Jacob as he raised up on the deathbed, leaning on his staff and said, glory to God. Home at last. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Right.
That's right. Now, there's events in his life when real faith was exercised. In chapter number 28 of Genesis, and I don't think I've got time to cover all this, I'll just mention it. But in chapter number 28 of the book of Genesis, when he first left to go to Paddan Aram, when he went to get his bride, when he went down there to get Rachel and Leah, and bring them back to the land of Canaan, when he left to go down there, the first place that he landed was Bethel. It was there that he saw that ladder and the angels of God ascended and descended and got at the very top. And he said, man, he said, surely God's in this place. And I knew it not. Now, look here. I want to read a verse to you out of that chapter. Verse number 15. And behold, I'm with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And it says in verse number 14, thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad all this and all. Talking about the fact. In other words, the covenant was reconfirmed to Jacob right there. In that, I'm talking about the Abrahamic covenant of blessing was confirmed to him right there. Hey, that's right. What a time of faith. Here is a man, look here. Here is a man that is running for his life out of his homeland. And God said, don't worry, Jacob. For I'm going to send you down there. And I'm not only going to send you down there, I'm going to bring you back. Jacob said, I got run off. How in heaven's name are you going to bring me? And he said, not only will I bring you back, but he said, just look, I'm going to give you all this land. And I said, I'm going to bless you with flocks and herds and servants. He said, that I'm just going to bless you as you've never been. Now, here's Jacob leaving with nothing but Jacob. And he's coming back with everything. You talk about faith. Can you believe God for that? Do you not know what that's a picture of, church? That's a picture of that old sinner. It's about over now, boys. That's a picture of that old sinner that God picks up with nothing! Nothing, 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 nothing! He starts his pilgrimage with nothing. And God tells him, don't worry now, you ain't got much now. But I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we shall never grow. Ain't that right? God picks a sinner up with nothing and confirms the covenant of grace to his heart that was sealed in the blood of the Son of God on Calvary and said, you ain't got nothing now, son, but you just wait. Your time's coming.
Hallelujah. That's right. He assured him of his return to Canaan in that verse. He said, I'll bring you back into this land. What a promise. What faith. I mean, faith in adversity, friend. That's right, when he's leaving. And not only, but he said, and he affirmed, look what he said. He said, and I have done, he said, I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. He not only affirmed, he not only assured him of his return to Canaan, but he affirmed God's fulfillment of all of his promises. Have you got that kind of faith tonight? God has told you, church, that he will not leave you until he has completed the work in you that he started. Can you believe him for that?
Amen.
Why are thou so fearful then? Why do you worry all the time? Why do you wonder in your mind all the time if you're lost, saved, in, out, lost, saved, got name, got to teach that? Why do you worry? Well, God don't love me. God, my, oh yes, God does love you.
Amen.
Now, I'm not quite done, but I'm going to try to hurry. Another act of his faith, when he had real faith, not only when they confirmed the covenant, but when he chose his mate. Are y'all listening to me? Do you know who he chose for his wife? Rachel. Do you know who he got? Leah. He said, hey, told Laban, said, hey, you lie, you deceive me. That ain't the girl that I worked 7 years for, and I want my wife. He said, I'll work 7 more years if you'll give me Rachel. And Laban said, I'll give you Rachel for 7 more years. But said the eldest, hey, no. That did not hinder his faith a bit. That's faith, church. Are you hearing me? Although he was slipped a Mickey, son, he still had great faith when it comes to you. And by the way, can I say this? Everybody look right up here at me. This is Bible theology now. Guess who was the firstborn of Rachel? Joseph. Guess who was blessed by Jacob when he was a dying? Both the sons of Joseph. Ephraim and Manasseh. You know what that meant? That meant that God, hey, look here, the firstborn was to get a double portion of blessing. And that's exactly what God gave to Joseph when he blessed Manasseh and Ephraim both. I can see I done lost some of y'all. You look so puzzled-eyed. He was beguiled by Laban and was given Leah. And yet Joseph was the firstborn of Rachel. And it was a double portion blessing that he gave to Joseph when it came time to die. Blessed him, boys. Then I want to say he had great faith when he came to die. Joseph blessed both the sons. Or Jacob blessed both the sons of Joseph when he was dying. He worshiped God leaning upon the top of his staff.
Amen.
Let me ask you something. Is your faith... Is your faith that strong? You see, church, while I'm getting that all night long, it's why he had faith when he died is because he had faith when he lived.
Right.
What about you? Is your faith about that thing?
Great.
Is your faith good in times of adversity? Can you handle the hard spots?
That's right.
I hope so. Let's stand together.